everyone. I'm Kira.
And I'm Drew.
And welcome to Stematica. Stematica is a podcast where we talk about everything in STEM, from computer science to engineering.
We are so excited to be the host of this podcast. And to make sure that you never miss a future episode, make sure to follow us on all our social medias. We have Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Spotify, YouTube, and many others. You can find them all on our campsite link, or you can use our username on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok, which is @StematicaPod. Now, let's get into it.
Did you guys know that back in 1965, the number of transistors on a 1-inch computer chip would double every year, but the costs of the transistors would halve? Now, it takes about 18 months for this cycle. What do you guys think about this, Kira and Drew?
I never knew this happened. Does this have a name to it?
Yeah, it's called Moore's Law. You can look it up.
Wow, that's pretty interesting. No, I never knew this happened. But why do you think that it's, you know, increased so dramatically?
So I think that silicon is kind of reaching its limit. So before, like, the number of transistors you could put on a 1-inch computer chip would kind of just be like, just based on like the technology in that era, right? So obviously, as technology, as our technology has grown exponentially, then the number of transistors would as well. But now that we're reaching like the maximum size, I think that's the main reason why we can't put any more transistors. It's not because, like, you know, we don't have the technology or whatever. It's just simply we've hit the maximum.
Wow. So,
Kira, what do you think about this?
Yeah, I think that's really interesting. The difference between like the silicone and the transistors and everything. What do you think, Drew?
Well, I feel like it seems like it's going to be exponentially going down, you know, maybe let's say 10 years from now, it becomes from 18 months to 24 months. And then from there, it becomes 36 months. And it just keeps going to the point where it's difficult enough that their innovation stops. Obviously, I hope this doesn't happen, but would that mean that there is just nothing better to do with computers?
So actually there are other ways that people are looking into, you know, increasing chip productivity. So one of those is actually quantum computing. So I'm sure that you guys heard of quantum mechanics before, and how like if you observe something, then its behavior changes and all of that. So quantum physicists are actually trying to they're looking into how they can utilize like the quantum mechanics basically to make faster chip speeds.
Wow. You know, this idea of chips getting, you know, like faster, I mean, well, not faster and faster, but the development getting slower and slower actually reminds you of something in a completely different industry, though it has the same problem. In the automotive industry, engines and efficiency of engines have been basically hit their max. So nowadays, when you look at all engines, all cars, they'll like sports cars especially, they'll start looking the same because now the only thing they can do now is optimize airflow and aerodynamics. So if you look at the new Lotus that came out, I think it's called the Lotus Evora, and the new Corvette, the Corvette C8, they look pretty much identical, and if you replace the badges, I can guarantee you no one could tell the difference. So it's weird to think that this phenomenon is not just in the computer industry, but it's going across worlds. Kira, what do you think? Do you think another industry could be severely affected by this?
Yeah, I think
if so, which one?
I think that there's a lot of interesting things that you can point out about like kind of things reaching their limits. Like, and also like something else that kind of I thought about when you were talking about like the engine phenomenon with like cars like having similar engines now because they kind of reached their peak, as you mentioned, is like, what does this leave to like alternatives? Like, where is like the future of transportation going to lead us? Like, are more people, does that apply to Teslas, like the engines of Teslas as well, Drew?
Well, Tesla doesn't have an engine. It has batteries and motors. And so it does have a similar phenomenon where, once again, that's more of a computer type industry. But if you've seen that Elon Musk's battery day, Tesla battery day, that was when he introduced his new like type of battery. I don't know the specifics of it. To be honest, I don't like Tesla that much. I prefer V8s just because they're louder and more powerful. But I do like hybrid engines because like they are faster. And so I do hope that there will be more battery innovations. But once again, it seems like that's also peaking because, you know, there's only one that I remember, like, of when Elon Musk got up on stage and talked about his new battery performance.
Yeah, I think that, like, so the thing that I was thinking about was just, like, how, like you mentioned, like, traditional engines, like, the ones you mentioned between the two cars that were, like, basically virtually the same, like, because their engines were very similar. I think that what we see is, like, there's kind of this transition into, like, you know, hybrid engines like Teslas or other types that are, like, different. And I think, like, the same should be, like, applied to, like, other industries as well, because I'm not really sure, like, Sue, do you know, like, what the, like, what's happening between, like, the alternative between, like, chips because of the chip shortages and everything?
So I'm not sure too much about the chip shortages, but just the thing I've been noticing in general is that, like, the technology that we used to use, like, you know, in my case, the silicon, or in my case, the transistors on computer chips, it's kind of just reaching its max, and we need to, like, find new ways to, you know, increase, like, chip productivity, or, in, like, Drew's case, like, try, increase, like, I think he was talking about engine speed and stuff like that. We just need to look for, like, new, we just need to look for new alternatives and find, and, like, create new innovations, basically, that solve, like, these, problems.
So basically, computer chips becomes quantum computing, and engines become hybrid and electric, and that's, like, that's just how it is now, I guess. There's nothing more you can do.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Yeah, I think that there's... Like,
there's some of the industries, like, have kind of maxed out. Like, you're saying, like, cars have basically maxed out, and now they're just changing aerodynamics. Yeah. And, like, with silicon chips, their transistors have maxed out. And, like, our new technology, probably, like, you might be able to, like, maybe if we got extremely advanced technology, you might be able to fit, like, a couple more transistors or whatever, right? But instead, if we tried investing all of that energy into quantum computing, that might lead to, like, a more drastic increase in performance.
Yeah, and one example of this is these two Ford trucks, the Ford Ranger and Maverick. The Maverick is a little smaller, but the Maverick gets, since it's hybrid, it gets 36 miles to the gallon, or I think it's 42, I might be mistaken here. While the Ranger, I believe, is in the 20s. So it's clearly proven that like advancing to an alternative can drastically change, you know, how good a product can be. But I remember you mentioned that there is a chip shortage, and this has actually affected, like, a lot of economies, like a lot of industries and the economy in general. So when you look at the automotive industry, you know, General Motors, which is the really large vehicle company in America, it has started removing some features from its vehicles just because it doesn't have the ability to, like, the power and the materials to keep them in there anymore. And if you look at Ford, they stopped making trucks for a long time in the first half of the year. And it's also affecting industries and computers, like what I mentioned previously, like with graphics cards and PlayStations and all being, like, drastically blown up in price. It's basically impossible to get them just because they cost so much, and people are nabbing them, and there's, like, so few of them. So what do you guys think of this?
So I just think that it's, like, another reinforcement of we need to, like, stop trying to push, like, all of our old ways, like the silicon chips, and, like, we need to try really innovate and find new ways, because now, like, nowadays our technology is growing so much, so we need to try use our new technology to, like, find new ways to do things rather than, you know, like, keep on trying to push old ways that might not be as productive as they were, like, in 1965 in the case of transistors on chips.
Interesting. So Kira, would you say that the best way to go is to just wait and see what the scientists and developers come up with, or just continue developing on these new, or these old innovations?
I mean, I think that there should be sort of, like, a mix. Like, I think that we shouldn't just, like, I think we should also develop things to, like, its peak, and I think that we should, you know, continue to try, like, to innovate more. But I also think that there are a lot of alternatives out there that are significantly can be developed as well, you know, like, for example, like, electric cars like Tesla and other ones that can be developed, and, like, some of the features that are on there, like, including, like, self-driving, like, that has nothing to do with engines, but, like, just things in general that should, like, can be, you know, new technologies that are continuously needed to be developed more, because there's so much potential, like, with, for example, like, self-driving cars, and the fact that, like, we may one day have a society, but that, like, is completely like no one needs to drive themselves, like the car drive themselves. So I think that there's a lot of new technology like that that can be developed, but I also think that we should, you know, apply that to old technology as well and develop it as much as we can.
Yeah, I agree. What do you think, Sud?
Yeah, I think that, like, we shouldn't completely give up on the silicon chips. Like, who knows, maybe we find some breakthrough where it can actually, like, somehow half the transistor size and put twice as many transistors on the chip. Like, that'd be really crazy. But at the same time, I think we should spend maybe not all of our resources on trying to find, like, new innovative ways, like quantum computing and stuff like that. But I think we should definitely look into that stuff so then we're not just stuck on, you know, our technology going into a downward spiral.
Yeah, I see what you mean. But I think we've been, you know, like constantly like wondering about one thing, is that like, is there like a true future with these old things? And I think we've concluded that there is. Maybe we're not ready for electric, but we can't keep using V8, so hybrid is the answer. And same thing, I'm not entirely familiar with quantum computing, and maybe there's a mix between quantum computing and what we're currently using, but I guess we'll have to wait and see. But with that being said, thank you for watching the third official episode of Stematica, and you can check out all of our social medias at StematicaPod or on our campsite. Thank you for listening. Bye.
Bye.